Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. The 100 day is here. Check it out at Delaware Valley Journal. They just posted my take on the first 100 days. Or on my Twitter at DomShow1210. Spread it around. I go through the successes of Trump. And I was writing it last night. How could I resist putting in what I thought of the Philadelphia Eagles? Men of principle. Is Jalen Hurts a man of principle? Well, Malcolm Jenkins, who, for a guy that was articulate on his side of it, is kind of moronic. The last time the Eagles went to the White House, of all guys, I said 100 times, President Trump would have listened to him. President Trump was trying to put in all kind of justice reform, some of which I differed with. Remember the people he's given pardons to that were drug dealers and all? Remember that? African-Americans? He would have listened to Malcolm Jenkins. There were specific things he wanted, and maybe Trump would have been aside with him, and I'm sure would have listened. But no, he wouldn't go. He praises Jalen Hurts as a man of principle. Where's the man of principle? Jalen Hurts didn't say, no, I'm not going because Trump is other, because Trump is Hitler, because Trump is racist, because Trump is what? He said scheduling conflict. Hard to tell. How many players did not go? It looks to be double figures. I'm not counting the people that are no longer on the team. One of them just posted on his Twitter, and Dan's looking at it now.
Can't play it.
Can't play it?
Nothing. Not yet. Well, no, yeah. He says, summarize, he says the suit was too tight, and that's why he didn't want to go.
Oh, okay.
But he says it was surrounded by tons of expletives.
Yeah, that's it. Suit was too tight. Yeah, some of these guys just don't get the significance of the White House. It would have been uncomfortable to, you know, go there through his, I guess, to some of them. That's what I'm guessing. But Jalen Hurts, no, he's a man of principle. How about A.J. Brown? Is he going to tell us why he didn't go? Devontae Smith? How about Brandon Graham? Mr. Wonderful as far as Big Tent and everybody loved. Why didn't Brandon Graham go? Well, he's retired now. No. He played on this team. They were the Super Bowl champions. He'll be at events where it's a Super Bowl champion thing. So he's retired from football now, but he played this year, and he was an inspirational force. But back to the two main players. Here's the headline from Marcus Hayes, who told Dan, no, he didn't like the way Dom treated him. And I don't remember that. I just remember it was typical talk radio give and take. He's one of the feature columnists at The Inquirer, And he went after Trump early on, maybe 2017, you must have been. And we went back and forth. Here's his headline. Will Saquon Barkley, Philadelphia and Eagles, survive getting cozy with Donald Trump? What? Marcus, maybe it's a headline writer there. So who's the brave one in person of principle? It's Saquon Barkley. Even though he said, I'm going there respecting the office, he likes Trump, play golf with him. In a place like Philadelphia that crawls with this, and the Inquirer, by the way, mentioned, well, what do you expect? Trump won only 20% or so of the vote in Philadelphia. Well, wait a minute. If you're out there in the suburbs, particularly Bucks County, where Trump did win, I think the Eagles are not only a regional powerhouse, they are one of the most impressive brands, the most rabid fans around the world, you know, well, other than your team in that town. They have places that where they watch Eagles games around the world. They're a hugely successful brand, big time, worth astonishing amounts of money. Don't ask me why the Cowboys are. It's another day, another story. And some of these soccer teams, but the Eagles got to be in the top 15 or 10, something like that. They're that big. So what about the fans in the suburbs? What about people that voted for Trump? The Eagles, to their credit, went. Their management. You heard the thing we're playing there with Big Dom. I don't know if he's a Trump fan or not. But Trump got onto that, saw the size of his guy, and loved him. He did reach out to Barkley. We'll play you a lot of sound. And he was praiseworthy of Jalen Hurts.
Even mentioned you, Dom.
Big Dom, and he's sort of a legend.
Yeah, that's true.
Come here, Dom. Come here.
He likes the name, the Dom. He's playing the Italian aspect. Dan's going to hit that 500 times. Big Dan's here.
No, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Big Dan's here, too. Yeah, we don't have that one. Okay. So
get the name right. D-O-M.
Thank you, Mr. President. All right. So who's the brave one here? Well, the worst that I've seen, and Henry Dan remembered this. I don't know that you did. I mean, his sports knowledge is incredible. Did you remember this reference? If you say that's as bad as Reggie White speaking to the Wisconsin legislature, do you remember that? No, Dan?
I believe that one of the reasons that Jesus was accused of being a homosexual is because he spent time with homosexuals. If you go to Japan or any Asian country, they can turn a television into a watch.
Yeah. Now, he also said black people, and he's black, Reggie White, arguably the best lineman. A lot of people would say that. I guess I would. Of all time. Not the best defensive player of all time. That's Lawrence Taylor. But that's another show. He said that, Dan, about turning everything into a watch. He said something like black people are the best at celebrating. He thought, you know, he was doing positive ethnic things, he thought. Black people are great at celebrating. They jump up and down in church. I don't know if he said Italians, but I think he might have. Italians. Hispanics can put, he'd say, can you imagine the legislature in the beginning? They were going wild and they were sitting here. Oh my God, someone stop him.
So there are stories from this moment that when it happened back in 1998.
Right.
Me and Henry both, who are very good at research and finding clips like this, it's almost like it's been scrubbed from the internet, any kind of audio.
But. It has. That's amazing to me. He said something like, Hispanics are great. They take 30 people and they put them in the houses routinely. And he thought he was being positive. Here's why I brought up Reggie White and this whole thing. This guy, Les Bowen. Hey, Les, I'm not sure if you're still in the area. He used to be the Eagles beat writer. What a clown. He goes after Saquon Barkley, and I wrote it down, his tweet on this. You talk about all-time patronizing, but the punchline was how clueless. Yeah, Les Bowen put out on Twitter that Saquon's a great guy, but blundered in the stuff they don't fully grasp. To me, this is Reggie White at the Wisconsin legislature level. That Saquon Barkley played with Trump. And Reggie White scrubbed from the internet, apparently, some of the stuff that he said. Cluelessness, not a bad guy, but out of his depth. Can you imagine? This is a white guy Eagles beat reporter. The Eagles beat reporter at one point, I thought. Talking about a black man here. But they can do it. They never would allow it in any other circumstance. Why can they do it in this? Because they're associated with Trump. That's why. Marcus Hayes, who is black,
went on to say, and I put it in my column, DelawareValleyJournal.com, or you can find it at DomShow1210. And they just posted it a little while ago. He said that Barkley's choice to implicitly endorse and validate the person and presidency of a convicted felon. All right, here we go again, right, with the convicted felon thing here. Here's a guy who's in a business where routinely we look past criminals because they're valuable to play pro ball. But Trump's a convicted felon. Editors at the Inquirer, did the saliva drip stop you from saying, hey, Marcus, you got to put that in context of this convicted felon stuff here? You know, the trumped up charges, New York, where this stands. It could result, and he says, and whose overt associations with an endorsement of racism, especially racism directed at black people, could result in months, if not years, of Barkley being cast as the latest Kanye West, Mike Tyson, or Antonio Brown, shameless or perhaps clueless.
Kanye West, the guy who just wore a KKK hood to an interview.
How in the world? Now, this town is so crazed for football that I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to suffer. I mean, it's because he's so extreme. And again, it's not a sports show, but I think a lot of people thought he was the missing ingredient here. Sure, the quarterback position, we know all that. But suddenly the running back position, what this guy did was remarkable. And his career is spotless as far as anything that you would want in a person. Marcus Hayes, Dan, I want to finish with this, Dan, and you can comment. He actually ends the column. Given the feverish nature of the MAGA cult, Barkley might actually see his jersey sales boom. Well, we want him to boom. If you're going to buy a jersey, buy his. Here's the line. Selling merchandise to folks who certainly wouldn't let him date their daughter. Is there anything they will not go to here? And this is the sports media, not even the political media. Now, I always thought back in the day, the sports media, because of the rough and tumble, you're covering football and things like this, would not be this politically correct, this woke. But guess what? They are, by and large. They are. And if they're more conservative, they're afraid to come out. We wouldn't let Barkley date our daughter. All right, Dan, you had something?
Well, my thing was, for context of Saquon here, you have a guy who suffered multiple injuries.
Right.
Had multiple moments in his career where he would have never been the same hadn't he worked his ass off to get where he was. Drafted by a perennial loser in the New York Giants.
Right.
Had a moment with his daughter when he started with the Eagles where she asked, does this mean we get to win now?
Yeah.
He worked his entire life to achieve the moment of winning the Super Bowl and the moment of going to the White House and doing all that comes with winning the Super Bowl. You don't think the guy's going to go out and live it up because he's worked his entire life for this dream, to achieve this dream? Come on now.
Well, I'm sure Jalen Hurts did. Resilience, Mr. Comeback. I just want to hear Malcolm Jenkins. Man of principle, Jalen Hurts. Doesn't sound like that. I'll take, is he a liar? Did he have a scheduling conflict? Now, we went through yesterday. If you're lucky enough to be invited to the White House for one reason or another, it never gets old. I've had five things there in one way or another, and it never gets old. When Dan and I went the last time, even though we weren't in the White House, we were watching these media types walking up. It was worth that. We were looking at it from the executive office. It never gets old. So what are the reasons you can have a scheduling conflict? We went through this yesterday. If it's a female, you're going into labor. Somebody's having a life-threatening operation and you want to be there with them. Someone has died and you're grieving during that period of time, close to you. You get into an horrific crash on the way there. What other possible reasons can we think of why you would have a scheduling conflict that something you knew was going to be months in advance that the Eagles said this? So how is that a man of principle? I just want Jalen Hurts to tell us word by word why then he wouldn't go. That's all. He doesn't have to. He has every right. He's an American. He doesn't have to go. But where's the principle there? And they're so extreme, they're so crazed, that they will go after, as Marcus Hayes just did, as, well, Keith Olbermann, of course, but Les Bowen. This reminds me of Reggie White. Are you kidding me? And you're a white guy. Shut up. That's what Barkley ought to say to him. You imagine telling a black man here why he can't associate with Trump, a white guy who covered the Eagles, and saying he's like Reggie White saying stupid stuff like he did to the legislature, some of which isn't even on the internet. Why? Because they seethe with this, because Trump is other. And if you're a Trump supporter, you're other. Now, Dan, you and I think differ on, I don't know how Henry comes down on it. You think a lot of these people that go to Eagles games, let's say from the city and all that, you think they're, I think they're Democrats still. I don't think they're necessarily Trump supporters. I don't see it.
I think they are.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Well, I mean, what's your definition? When you think of an Eagles fan, you close your eyes and imagine your stereotypical Eagles fan. It's a blue-collar individual, a lot of times from South Philly, you know, and
a lot of them are still Democrats, so they're insane.
Yeah.
Yes, rough-and-tumble guys, union
guys. Yeah, blue-collar, rough-and-tumble, hard-nosed individuals.
But they still
individuals.
Vote for Democrats.
Yeah.
Now, maybe some of them voted for Trump, you're right, because it's different. But they vote against what they are. And you know what they get? They say, we're going to give you more money. You can hold us up with the unions. You just have to go along with letting your girls have to play against men and everything. As long as you do that, we'll give you more money. That's what the deal was.
I guess.
Now, yeah. You're right, though. Trump has broken through with some of them. Henry, you have a thought on that? The typical Eagles fan?
I'd say it's probably 65-35 Democrat.
Yeah, it is.
I'd say it's another.
Yeah, it's probably something like that. Yeah. And he's right. 80% of the city voted for Kamala Harris, or at least Democrats. They're going to vote for Krasner. little story here.
You don't think they vote for Krasner, though, because they've now had no choice of Republicans for how many decades now?
Well, guess what? Judge Dugan, Dan, I'm told pretty reliably, I was going to announce this later, can run as a Republican, I'm told.
Okay.
You can cross-file and do that.
Well,
I think they ought to snap him up.
Come the hell on our show.
And it's... Yeah, well, it's sorry, oh, now sorry. You're coming around to my
no,
side.
I don't mean to throw it out there, but my whole thing has been maybe it's a strategy if he's going to run as a Democrat to, you know, keep that in the back pocket of, no, I'm not a Trump guy,
then,
and that's
right,
why he's denying here. But if he's considering a run for Republican, then get the hell on the show, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm invited tonight by our great friend Jody Del Barba to this fundraiser in South Philly at the Bocce Club. I grew up about four blocks away. Do I know the Bocce Club? Yeah, I never played bocce there, but it's, you know, drinking the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Could I go because it's for Judge Dugan after my comments?
Are you speaking?
No, if I'm there, they might. I don't know. The crowd might boo. Who knows?
Yeah, you think so?
Well,
Big Dom, and he's sort of a legend.
Oh, God.
Come here, Dom. Come here.
Trump also is in favor of the tush push and against the dynamic kickoff. I don't like the kickoff, but you know what? I got to say, I've come down on the side. Let them be fraudulent. The injuries are so bad, the CTE and all. That, you know, let them do whatever they have to do so you don't have more CTE. You agree with that, Dan, or no?
Yeah.
You want the kickoff?
I'm for these kickoffs. I like how they incentivize it again, making the touchback even further again this year. I think they're moving out to the 35.
Right. No, I mean a real kickoff.
Yeah, the real kickoff stinks. That's why they got rid of it.
You should do a real kickoff, but make it so they can't, you know, kneel in the end zone.
Well, it used to be.
That'll bring back the CTE.
It used to be.
I want violence.
They moved it up so you could kick it out of the end zone. I'm talking about, you know, when the ball was, let's get out of the weeds. When the ball was kicked off and a regular kickoff, bomb squad ran down, they crashed into each other. I'm off that because.
Why?
Because these guys in their 30s and 40s, 33% of them are going to have CTE.
Yeah.
So it's bad enough. They're too big and too fast. You're just going to have, you know.
So what should be the result? I mean.
Let them be fraudulent. Let them pretend it's a kickoff.
Just have them run through the motions?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Well, pretty much, you know. So we'll see. But Trump wants a real kickoff, and he wants the tush push. So that ought to.
Trump wants violence, too.
Yeah, he wants violence.
Headline.
Okay. All right, so there's a lot to unpack, and there's more. There's more sound on this. We got the 100-day commemorating, and Dan has been able to get Scott Turner, who played in the league, I think, when he was on with us before, 8 to 10 years. I'll look it up for various teams. Pretty good player. Now the head of HUD. We'll get his take on players not going to the White House. How is HUD celebrating the first 100 days of the Trump presidency, part two? And as predicted, we'll play it. CNN and others are blurring the mugshots. Can you imagine? How in the world do they tell us about freedom of speech, etc., and they will not show people that have been arrested? Now, I would say this. They have 1,000 people, 10,000 people working at CNN. Why don't they just get these? And anybody they think has been wronged here, they keep on saying, well, we don't know. Check out their criminal record. If they haven't been convicted for deportation, etc., then blur that out. But let us see the other ones. Why can't the American people see the people that are among us that mean to rape and kill? Because CNN says they're not going to show it to you. All right, 855-839-1210. Give me the side question, too, coming up on Talk Radio 1210.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, Dom Giordano Show. One other area, and it's only come up, the Hooties. Because of the Signalgate stuff with Pete Hegseth. Boy, this is a real threat. Iran's a threat because Iran bankrolls them. One of our aircraft carriers lost, and I was looking at it on the internet today, the footage of it, a $60 million plane that fell off the aircraft carrier because they were taking such evasive action. It looked like this giant aircraft carrier was making a U-turn to evade rockets coming from the Houthis, who had massed thousands of rockets and hope they hit you with a few. $60 million plane, the embarrassment of it. I know we can't snap our fingers with groups like this, but it's the Iranians ultimately. I don't know why we're not bombing them around the clock, why we're not trying to just wipe out every single remnant. $60 million plane falls off an aircraft carrier. Now, I know they have ways to hold them on and rough seas and all that, so I'm not sure fully, but when I look at the footage of the aircraft carrier, the turn it's making, the radar's picking up the incoming, and it falls into the sea. It becomes a submarine. Well, first of all, plane costs $60 million. Gee. But this just ragtag group, given modern technology and just one aim, to mass and drive shipping out of their area to do whatever damage they can, takes out a $60 million. And I don't know that the aircraft carrier could have overturned. I kind of sound like our guy from Texas about Guam. But it looks amazing to see it trying to evade this incoming. So this is a group that really has to be dealt with. It's not just the shipping lanes. Whatever our ship was or our aircraft carrier there, it squarely was it. Well, it tells you aircraft carriers are kind of old school. If a group like this can put it at risk where it has to take that kind of evasive action. All right. Side question here. We're looking for today. Today I saw on the calendar that Joan of Arc won a significant battle, a huge battle, the Battle of Orleans. And I'm always fascinated, like Jesus of Nazareth. When we have a person, they didn't use, I don't know Joan of Arc's last name. I know she's Joan of Arc, Dom of Philly, Dan of Port Richmond, or Deptford, whichever, or Cherry Hill, or you could have a million places. We're looking for somebody like that, or someone whose name they go by, like Attila the Hun, Vlad the Impaler. I think wrestlers have adopted that. So, Henry, do you have one?
Yeah, I do, and it's a very long one.
Sure.
Because this person demanded to be greeted with the utmost respect from the common person, as she thought of herself as a bit of a royal.
Right.
And, of course, I'm talking about the Princess of Dragonstone, the Unburnt, the Queen of Meereen, the Queen of the Andals, the Rhoynar, and the First Men, the Lady of the Seven Kingdoms, Protector of the Realm, Khaleesi of the Great Grass Sea, Breaker of Chain, and Mother of Dragons, none other than Queen Daenerys Targaryen.
There we go. Always with the Game of Thrones references. All right, I'm glad you got that in. President Trump was called the Donald. So we're looking for something with the in there or the of. Dan, how about yours?
I got a couple down. You ready for these?
Yes.
How about first off, we'll go with wrestling and go Andre the Giant.
There you go.
Yeah, the great guy. What was it? Chugging. How many beers he could do? It's just a fascinating, larger-than-life individual.
Did he reach 50? I don't know how he would even reach 50, that guy.
Let's see. He was 46 years old when he passed away.
I feel like it would happen, yeah.
And there's an old legend I'm trying to figure out. 117 beers in one sitting.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was asked by David Letterman in a famous 1984 appearance. So quite the guy, Andre the Giant. Also, how about the chairman of the board?
There you go. Sinatra again.
Yeah.
We've used chairman of the board before. Yeah, that always works.
And one more?
Yes.
The king of all media.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's back when there was only radio or something, I guess.
That's Howard Stern. Yes.
All right, so hit us with that at the end of your call. How you feeling? Look, the Eagles deserve credit, the organization, for going there. They probably knew. Remember, we were told there was like some kind of vote or some kind of talk going on. And they determined that some people didn't want to go, but they were going to go as an organization. And if you didn't want to go, that was okay. Now, do I think this destroys their cohesion or whatever? No, I don't think so. They want to win. They want to repeat as champions. I don't see how that plays out in that manner. But the sports media in this town and the Inquirer and the others, they can't get enough of lionizing and saying that, boy, Jalen Hurts, at the moment of truth, is a person of principle. What's the principle? I'd like to know. Scheduling conflict? Saquon Barkley is lesser now. We'll see. He's not. Eagles fans love this. I mean, they get the impact he had. All right, coming up, we're going to go to the White House. We're going to talk with the deputy spokesperson for the Department of State about the Trump foreign policy issues and how they turn their attention more. I will ask him about the Houthis here and what the heck we're going to do with them. 855-839-1210, you get in. You know, it's said you just don't visit Sicily. You fall head over heels in love with this ancient crossroads of civilization. You know all the groups that have come through. What's important is we're going with conservative tours and a whole bunch of Talk Radio 1210 listeners. Ro and I and you are going to experience Mediterranean Europe in Sicily and Calabria this fall. Nothing like it. The beauty, the sea. $55.44, including airfare. And for that, well, the tour is spectacular. The dining events. They're not dinners. They're dining events. The food, the wine, and the ambiance of the places that they know. Giuseppe's going to be coming on with us one of these days soon. Again, one of our guides. Bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Monreal, the Palace of the Normans. It's all there. The Godfather Tour. That's part of it. All the locales, some of the actors that were in the films. Call 888-733-9494 or go to conservativetours.com. Now, if you've already called, now's the time to get going. We want you to be with us, and it's not unlimited spots. We'll also enjoy the crown jewel of Sicily, Taormina, Valley of the Temples, Mount Etna. It's charming, stunning, and picturesque. Savoca, I'm told, is great. Call 888-733-9494. All right, we celebrate the first 100 days together, including all the Eagles coverage. Tommy Pigott was with us during the campaign, I think a good bit, I remember. He is now the principal deputy spokesperson for the Department of State, and we're told, and we've seen it, reorganization at state, Trump turning more in the next 100 days toward, you know, foreign situations, Department of State, even though Ukraine, Russia have been front and center, all the domestic stuff has also been front and center. Let's go to Tommy, see how they're feeling over there 100 days in. Hey, Tommy, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, first of all, president in Michigan today, why that choice, the first 100 days? It's a rally, right?
Yeah, well, look, the president, again, speaking to the American people directly. I mean, the president went across the country during the campaign, obviously, and now as president, he's speaking directly to the American people. That's who he has been speaking to. That's who we will be speaking to. And I think also it's about making sure that we're cutting through the filter of those that may try to change his message, may try to warp his message. He's speaking directly to the American people. And when he does that, the American people hear it and they agree with what he says.
So, Tommy, speaking of blurring that or filtering that, CNN on their high horse, we were just at the White House last week and we see where they do their stand-ups. They say they're going to blur out all those mugshots of people that have been convicted of grievous crimes, many of them deported.
Sorry, could you repeat that? I kind of lost you
yeah,
right there.
Yeah,
right,
Tommy. Yeah, that the mugshots that we see, 100 of them or thereabouts for 100 days all around the lawn strategically placed where they do their stand-up. CNN and others are saying, no, they're going to blur them out, to your point about the filter here.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I think, again, that shows that the president is actually putting a policy in place that the American people want to see. They want to see the border secured. They want to see our laws enforced. And what we've done from the State Department's perspective to aid in that is reaching out to other countries and saying, hey, you need to accept your deported nationals that are in the United States illegally. And we've actually seen enthusiasm from countries in our region and around the world to combat transnational crime, to combat illegal immigration, because it not just benefits the United States. Of course, it does when we secure our borders. It actually benefits all of these countries along the route. So we need to combat that transnational crime and illegal immigration. The president is delivering on that promise. And from the State Department's perspective, we're supporting him 100%, reaching out to other countries, trying to get these deals in place that make sure that we can deport illegals in the United States back to their countries or to third countries and really enforce our laws. And that's what the American people voted for, and that's what they want to see.
Well, Tommy, I've never seen the State Department be the vehicle of the president's policy, but also Marco Rubio, and doing a good job of saying we're not going to allow people here, like, in my view, the guy at Columbia who's still going back and forth, to be supporting a deemed terrorist group, Hamas and others, and taking actions supporting that. Being here legally or not on a student visa or it's expired, and then, Tommy, saying, no, we can't deport him.
Yeah, well, I think it comes back to the fundamental premise of us enforcing our laws. I mean, there's a process in place when you apply for a visa. There's a vetting process. You need to also attest to doing certain things. If you're going to be here for a student, for example, you need to be a student, right? If there's certain processes that are in place when you're getting a visa. So and when a visa then is granted, that doesn't mean that that process then ends. If you do things in the United States that are breaking our laws, are counter to the foreign policy of the United States, that break the conditions under which your visa was given, if we learn something new about you, that means that the visa was would have never been given in the first place, then your visa may be revoked. And I think that's common sense for a lot of Americans. Americans, again, want to see our laws enforced. This is about enforcing our laws and making sure that those that are here on a visa actually abide by the conditions on which they have that visa. Again, it's common sense. It's kind of outrageous it wasn't happening before now, but it is happening now, and it's part of that effort, again, to enforce our laws.
And again, this shows the Trump administration using every vehicle that the American people want. I don't remember ever seeing the Secretary of State, and I'm all on board with it, exercising this power, exercising it a lot, exercising it duly and justly. Somehow or another, the other administrations, even if they did something, didn't use the direct power that Marco Rubio represents under law. Tommy, are you there? Did we lose you?
Hey, sorry, I just came back. I lost the very end of your question again there.
Yeah, I said that we have not seen the Department of State as the major vehicle doing this in the past. I wholeheartedly support it, but it's the Trump administration looking under every rock of what their authority is constitutionally and using it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It's about enforcing our laws and, again, a whole-of-government approach to get this done. And that is a big difference between the Trump administration and other administrations. The Trump administration, Secretary Rubio, the entire cabinet is about addressing these challenges head on and, again, finding ways to solve those problems, solve those crises. So we are seeing that from the State Department. We're seeing that from cabinets across the board. So it's really an important effort. And again, it's a credit to President Trump for building this team, for building this cabinet, for having that vision that people are going to implement. And we're seeing the results of that just in these 100 days, and we're going to keep on seeing that in the next 100 days and the 100 days after that.
What would you point to from your, where you are, the State Department? We see the reorganization. I guess that's underway. What's the biggest thrust from the State Department in the first 100 days?
Well, I think it's ultimately having an America First State Department that is implementing the president's foreign policy. Again, sounds common sense, but it goes back to that reorganization effort, which is saying there would be some times where there would be aid money spent. There would be programs in countries where the ambassador themselves did not know those programs were happening. And often those programs would run counter to the foreign policy that was being implemented by the administration. And any administration would not want that to happen, right? The American people, I think, hearing that would be shocked. But it was happening. So this reorganization that we're seeing, this plan to get there, is about empowering our diplomatic corps and not empowering a bureaucracy. And by doing that, implementing the president's foreign policy, Secretary Rubio, again, being the lead diplomat there. So I think that's a huge effort that we're seeing, that plan to get there. And then also these deals that we're seeing, these conversations that we're seeing, it's about making clear that it is much better to be America's friend than America's adversary. And we're seeing that time and time again as we pursue these different initiatives and put the American people first.
Tommy, thank you on a big day. Thanks for joining us, Tommy.
Thanks for having me on.
Tommy Pigott here on Talk Radio 1210. To that point, I saw today that new emails indicate that Burisma, with Hunter Biden there, when Hunter Biden was, remember that, Ukraine, they got from USAID, remember that, the organization, it's been shuttered now through Rubio and others, $16.5 million for some kind of energy boondoggle. So it was certainly worth it to pay Hunter. That's just one. What was it? $600,000 a year, $500,000 a year with Burisma, never meeting, doing anything. Well, behind the scenes, they just got $16.5 million from that USAID. And he's right. How in the world can you have a presidential policy and then you have money, foreign aid going into the country that sometime is directly opposite that, pushing back on that? By the way, I just happened to watch on Fox again. This woman that Belichick is with, I put her down as a contender to be as insufferable as Meghan Markle. Now, that's going to take a lot. We're going to have to see years of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who is, I mean, at least Prince Harry always was a lightweight. Belichick, though, and this woman has him tamed. Meghan Markle only tamed Prince Harry. I got to say, Belichick's a little bit tougher than Prince Harry.
Totally. And I don't think anyone was really like comparing her to Meghan Markle up until Sunday morning when that interview dropped. Because like before that, it was like, oh, it's all fun and games. Like, look, oh, Bill's putting her, you know, picture of her on Instagram, like with, you know, on his legs, like up over his head.
Yeah.
And now after this interview, it's like done a complete 180 where people are like, what is going on here? I don't like this at all.
She's going to be on Netflix soon. She's going to have a cooking or fishing show, I'm sure. All right. 855-839-1210. All right. That's from the White House today. 100 days. What is the high point? My column says it's most successful. Delaware Valley Journal at Dom Show 1210. Immigration. Illegal immigration. All out. Tom Homan, the border. And remember the Lankford guy. Remember all these Republicans. And Lankford, the senator from Oklahoma, seems like a good guy. Let's do a deal with the Democrats. Comprehensive border. Remember, right before the election, they on paper would say they were doing it, and then they would just spin out of it. Instead, Trump said, how about if we just shut down the border? How about if we do that? We don't need any deal. We don't need comprehensive reform. The reform is this. Great column today from Rich Lowry. We want people to self-deport. So you might see in the second wave here, the second 100 days, not just illegal criminal people, but going after job sites. If you don't have jobs, if you can't work here illegally, are you going to be able to stay if this is a concerted effort? That's where the real numbers are. And he's right. We want people to self-deport. You're not going to be able to round everybody. We're not going to go through that. Self-deport. You can't work. Or as many as possible. You do that, and you're going to see a difference in the numbers. All right, the side question, Joan of Arc, Attila the Hun, the one that Henry ran off, Dan had several, Andre the Giant, hit us with that of or the around the name that they give you. 855-839-1210, you'll get in with that. Coming up, we are going to talk with Scott Turner, the Secretary of HUD, Housing and Urban Development, former NFL player for quite a number of years, about the Eagles and the White House. All right, Dom Giordano Show. Scott Turner played in the NFL a goodly number of years back when it was harder to do that. He'll be joining us. He's the head of Housing and Urban Development. They have their own rollout of the 100 days. Of course, don't forget Tuesday, wow, a week from today, we'll be over at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville. Bloviation Central, not one, but four, I believe, on stage. Nick, Dawn, me, and Rich, talking the first 100 days with you. I hope to see you there. It's going to be a first that we've not done anything like this before, and certainly fitting given the exhaustion of this first 100 days of things that we've seen accomplished here, the push. So Scott Turner is the head of Housing and Urban Development. We'll talk with him about some of the things they've done over the first 100 days, but also as a former pro player, wanted to ask him about this whole White House thing that went down yesterday. Let's go to Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Scott Turner. Secretary, welcome back to Philadelphia. Second time we talked with you.
Scott Turner.
Yes, Dom. Great to see you. Nice to hear you guys.
It sounds like the president introduced you. Was that yesterday?
Yes, sir. It was at the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl celebration.
Ah, absolutely. So as a guy who played in the league that long, here in town, we see the battle now with Barkley, who, great player, played golf with President Trump, and the others, including the quarterback, who didn't show up. Any thoughts on that? When you were playing, were they doing invite to the White House then?
You know, I don't think so. I don't remember clearly since it was 30 years ago. But I don't remember, and plus I never won a Super Bowl, you know, unfortunately. But I think it is a great honor for any team to come and visit with the President of the United States, to come to Washington, to sit on the South Lawn, to walk the halls of the most important, not just real estate, but the iconic home, the leader of the free world, you know, to be able to come and sit with him. And not only that, but to pour into him as well, because the president loved being around these guys. That is a great honor and a great privilege. And so I'm really proud of the teammates and coaches from Philly that came to the White House.
And I would add, too, I don't know if you know Malcolm Jenkins or know of him. He didn't go the last time, and he's wrote a he was a pretty good strong safety, or whatever we're calling that safety today. The president would have listened to him, Scott. He has a lot of criminal justice reform. I'm not saying Trump would have agreed with all of it, but that's, you know this better, and I've just been around a few times. You get his ear on something that intrigues him. He starts having people research it, and you got something going on. You can talk to him about important stuff when you get to be close as a football team, particularly if you're one of the main players.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that disappoints me the most is when guys make decisions based off what they've heard.
Right.
And not based on a real truth and fact. In particularly guys like this that are professional players that understand what it means to watch film, to study, to anticipate, to be on the team, to deal with all kind of personalities, all kind of backgrounds, goals, dreams, and admonitions. For them not to come to the White House really is a missed opportunity. In particular, you talk about Malcolm Jenkins and Jalen and others who didn't come, which I love those guys. You know, I love what they do. But it is a missed opportunity. And matter of fact, the president even gave Jalen a shout-out yesterday in his speech, understanding that he wasn't there.
Yes.
But President Trump is one who, when you come to his desk and you come to the table, he listens. He's one of the best listeners that I've been around. He wants to understand your ideas. He wants to understand your struggles. He wants to understand the difficulties, and he wants to hear everybody out. And so for if you have an idea, in particular like criminal justice, he wants to understand what improvements can we make to criminal justice? What improvements can we make to housing? And not only that, to boot, the president is a huge football fan. He's a huge sports fan. He had just as much fun as the players did. And so I would, all of those that are listening now, whether you agree with him or not, whether you agree with his politics or not, you know, he's a father, he's a husband, he's a successful businessman, he's a believer, he understands business, he understands sport. Come see him. Come listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. I mean, he's been through a lot. And so I would encourage any team that has the opportunity to come, you know, to take advantage of it.
Well, that's well put. Now, we've been playing, my producers keep on dropping in Big Dom. How big is Big Dom, who was honored by the president
big
yesterday?
Big Dom, and he's sort of a legend.
How big is that guy, Scott?
Yeah, he's a big old buddy. He is he's a big guy. But he's a gentle giant, you know, and yeah. He loves the president. But I tell you what, man, he's one of those guys that if you need him, and I don't know him personally, but just understanding his story and seeing him in action, the players love him, the team loves him, the coaches, but all of Philly loves him. And his character and his actions speak for themselves. But physically, he's a big boy.
So you now at HUD, the billing, and HUD is the place where a lot of this happens, restoring the American dream. It's only 100 yeah. days, but you put into play some of the things, I know when you were here in Philadelphia, that are going to result in people having a better path to home ownership, which is cornerstone of the American dream.
Right. Yes, sir. You know, we came in, we restored the mission-minded focus here at HUD because they had lost that in the previous administration. There was no focus. There was no intentionality. And so we want to be very and have been very mission-minded. You know, we have a housing affordability crisis in our country, as you alluded to. And so we've been working very diligently to tear down burdensome regulations, to bring down the cost of building, to raise the supply, to give creativity and ingenuity and freedom and flexibility back to the localities where private builders and developers and economic development officials and community people can literally come together and find out, you know, what do we need uniquely in our neighborhood and build it. And so we need to get the federal government out of the way. The federal government's not the solution. It's a great facilitator. It's a great partner. And to build these public-private partnerships as it pertains to housing and affordability is what we're aimed at, and that's a big priority for us here.
My producer and I both noticed the same thing. Zwillow produced a report this week that it costs $1 million. I guess I saw it yesterday or this morning for a starter house in 233 American cities. I can't believe that. You know, I know what a starter house is. You probably did, too, when you were starting out. $1 million, even in Philadelphia. In New York, yeah, I mean, they're going to put you on a tent in the sidewalk. You need $1 million. But in Philadelphia, I mean, you have a sense of that? How do we address that?
Yes, sir. You know, when I bought my first house, I was playing for the Redskins. And I was, I think it was around like $200,000 or $250,000, which was a lot back then. But you're talking about to buy a house today at $1 million to get in the game. That's unacceptable. And so, again, we have to bring regulations down. The regulatory environment in our country as it pertains to home affordability and building is crippling our nation. We took down a rule called Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing. This is an Obama-Biden-era rule that basically Washington was a zoning czar. So Washington would tell Plano, Texas, or Boston, or Dubuque, Iowa, or Chicago, Illinois, they would tell them how they should zone their neighborhoods. Well, every neighborhood is unique. But the AFFH rule was really a regional type rule that said, hey, Dubuque, Iowa, and Chicago, Illinois, we're going to treat y'all the same. You need to zone your neighborhoods the same. Well, you and I both know that Washington cannot pick winners and losers. Winners and losers had to be picked on the local level. And so when we took that rule down, it restored flexibility back to the localities. And I've received many messages from localities saying, thank you for giving us the flexibility. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do our own zoning, to pick our own communities, because all communities are unique. And so, guys, I think that tearing down regulations is really going to free up home building and bring the cost down.
Secretary, thank you very, very much. Thanks for your insights on both football and Trump and what Trump's really like, and also what you're doing at Housing and Urban Development. Thanks for joining us again today.
Yes, sir, guys. Thank you.
All right. Housing and Urban Development Secretary. And Dan, you saw that same thing. I don't know if I saw it in USA Today. I find it to be preposterous. It can't be $1 million for a starter home in 233 cities.
Yeah, so Zillow has this out there. It's not Philadelphia, though. I want to be clear there.
Yeah.
It's not in Pennsylvania, but Dom, 32 cities with $1 million starter homes in New Jersey. Or no, 20 in New Jersey. 20 in New Jersey,
and
that's two. There was only two in 2020. Sadly, and this is Zillow's fault here. They don't produce the individual towns.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna send an email over to them and see if I can get which towns in Jersey.
233 of them.
It's gotta be up in North Jersey, I would think, right?
Yeah, but these gotta be like small enclaves. They can't be a city.
113 cities in California are million-dollar starter homes.
There's regulation. There's nonsense.
That sounds like a loose term for city.
Yeah.
If there's 113.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's town, small. Even then, even across the country, $1 million for a starter. The definition of starter is you're going to move on fairly quickly. How, if it's $1 million, are you moving on from that? Man.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's nuts. So he's on a cutting edge of this. And you heard, he's a courteous guy. Some of the things he said, that Trump would have listened to these guys, particularly Malcolm Jenkins. And at his height with Malcolm Jenkins, we were saying, you can come in 3 hours. We'll do the whole thing on what you have to say with this. A lot of it, you know, I think Trump went too far with so-called four. I know people let him get away, but there was a woman that was in jail for 40 years who was a major kingpin drug dealer, and he let her out. I wouldn't have done that. So I'm not going to just sign off on it, but Trump would. He listens to people like Malcolm Jenkins. No. And what's the principle? Is anybody going to ask Jalen Hurts? I'm sure he's never going to say anything. What's the principle he's standing on not going yesterday? Just tell us. Well, Marcus Hayes and others say it's because he respects women. All right, that means Trump doesn't. He respects equity in sports. You know what that means. That seems to be trans. I'd love to ask that question. And he's against racism. All right, those are the principles. 855-839-1210. Hit us on the side question, too. A little bit later, we're going to talk with the head of SEPTA about cracking down on fare evasion. They believe this is secret toward making it safer. Will Larry Krasner support him on this? Judge Dugan, bring that up, fare evasion. There's one more debate I think they're having coming up. 855-839-1210. You get in.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.